Praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. It's exciting to be here this morning. Amen. With a good host of men. Amen. And I love it when we open up that first time of worship and that roar comes up. Hallelujah. Amen. Nothing like men being together and worshiping the Lord. And I count this a great honor and privilege. Thank you, Brother Booker, for the invitation to be here at this meeting. And I'm looking forward to hearing these great men that are going to follow me, that I've heard many times, and I'm excited about hearing them preach. Amen. And I want to exalt Jesus this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the one that we're here for. He's what it's all about. Hallelujah. Amen. So why don't we lift our hands and do that right now? Let's love Him again. Thank you, Jesus. We worship You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. I love You. I love You. I love You, Lord. Oh, let my words exalt You today, Lord. I worship and praise You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Amen. I want every man to be blessed and touched today. And nothing blesses our churches more than when our men come home with a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost upon their lives. Hallelujah. We brought a bunch of men from our church, and I want them to go home changed and blessed today along with all of you. Hallelujah. Amen. Before you're seated, let's go ahead and look to the Word of the Lord, Ephesians chapter 4. Amen. And verse 10. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 10. Hallelujah. Let's start with verse 11. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Everybody say, a perfect man. Hallelujah. That's our goal. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I want to preach about that perfect man. That's not my title. I'm going to give you my title a little bit after we hear a song. Amen. But the goal here today is for us to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to bless His word today. Thank You, Jesus. So, Lord, we love You. God, we pray for the anointing of Your presence upon the touch, Lord, upon the Word of God. Put Your hand upon each one. Touch my heart, Lord, my mouth, that I might speak Your Word today. I love You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. And we're going to play a song that's going to give you my title. My title today is Somewhere Between Jesus and John Wayne. I want you to enjoy the song, and then I'm going to challenge it with the Word of God.
He was a cowboy, hard as a rock. Mama, she was quiet as a prayer. That he'd always tell me, son, you gotta be tough. Mama kissed my cheek and say, play fair. I did my best to make him proud of me. but it's never been an easy place to be. Somewhere between Jesus and John Wayne, a cowboy and a saint, cross and the open range. I try to be more like you, Lord, but most days I know I ain't. I'm somewhere between Jesus and John Wayne. Mama's love was tender, Daddy's love was strong. Both of them were there to help the weak. They taught me to stand up and fight for what is right. Showed me how to turn the other cheek. Now I see there's both of them in me, and maybe that's the best that I can ever hope to be. Jesus and John Wayne, a cowboy and a saint, crossing the open ring. I try to be more like you, Lord, but most days I know I ain't. I'm somewhere between Jesus and John Wayne. And John Wayne, a cowboy and a saint, crossing the open range. I try to be more like you, Lord, but most days I know I ain't. I'm somewhere between Jesus and John Wayne. Yeah, I'm somewhere between Jesus and John Wayne.
Well, now that's a pretty neat song. Yeah, I knew you would. I'm not through preaching yet, though. When I heard that song, I thought it was such a cool song, you know, and I thought, boy, my son Danny's going to like that because he likes to sing country-style songs, you know. He's pastored up in Williams Williams, Arizona. But then I have a stereo in my bathroom that I use in the mornings, and I always put music on. I love music and love to hear good music, and that's good music. That's good stuff. But there's something about that song that kind of started bothering me, especially one line in there. It says, you know, I guess that's all I could ever hope to be. And even though I'm not trying to condemn the song, and some of you probably have it, and I want you to go ahead and enjoy it, but I want you to understand that that is not the goal of the church. To be stuck somewhere between Jesus and John Wayne is not the goal of the church. Now, for some people, becoming like John Wayne would be an improvement. In this effeminate day that we're living in, when young boys don't even know how to wear boy clothes, in fact, it might be a step toward salvation to become like John Wayne. But for the true child of God, for apostolic men, we must never accept the dumbing down of the modern church theology that says you can't help but be a sinner. You can't ever improve on being stuck somewhere between Jesus and John Wayne. Amen. And so I have a message for you today. Hallelujah. Amen. And that song expresses the philosophy of this world. In that song, John Wayne basically represents tough manhood, and Jesus represents mama. You know, the soft, the kind, the soft. And it presents a Jesus that men have a tough time following after sometimes. But I want to preach to you today that Jesus Christ was a man's man. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hollywood never has produced a star that you and I can follow after. And they're not going to be anytime soon. But from this good book, hallelujah, there is a hero that we can follow after. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You don't have to get stuck somewhere, because there's always a high goal. There's always another step to climb up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because Jesus Christ is our ideal. He is our hero. Hallelujah. He's the one we want to emulate. He's the one we want to become more like as every day passes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I read this article sometime back in our very liberal paper in Phoenix, Arizona, the Arizona Republic. But it was a guest editorial, of course. But it was entitled, Jesus, a Very Masculine Man. And it was actually written by a minister in the Valley. But listen to this. Some men may think that Christianity is okay for women and children, but that real men don't need it. They have mistakenly concluded that Jesus was a weak, feminine fellow to whom masculine men would not give the time of day. And, of course, that's enhanced by most every picture that's ever been painted or drawn of Jesus. None of them, of course, being real pictures. Perhaps they have been deceived by the artist's portraying of Jesus, many of whom depict him as frail, weak, and feminine. The artists probably are trying to portray his youth, innocence, and gentleness. Or maybe they're just looking in the mirror and painting themselves. But the Jesus that is in the Gospels is not the weak, timid, trembling soul of the artist. Many years ago, Bruce Barton wrote a wonderful book, The Man Nobody Knows. In it, he demonstrates that rather than being weak, Jesus of Nazareth was a masculine, strong, and courageous man. He worked in a carpenter's shop. There were no power tools and power equipment. No motorized transportation. Every aspect of that work was heavy manual labor. Those who engaged in it grew strong. Being from a poor family, Jesus' diet, dress, and social life were simply not the luxurious food and sporting of fine raiment. He was a working man. Amen. Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. During his brief ministry, Jesus walked the dusty roads of Palestine. Only once do we read of him riding, and it was on a borrowed beast. There were no litters borne on servants' shoulders or a fine carriage in which to ride. He walked. Only a strong physical constitution could endure such rigors. The manliness of Jesus is seen in those who became his disciples, tough, hard-working fishermen like Peter and Andrew, hot-headed young men like James and John, and hardened revolutionaries like Simon the Zealot. They adored and served him willingly and died for his cause. It is seen in the multitude of women who followed Jesus. Women are not attracted to weak, fearful, and feminine men. His manliness was demonstrated in his ministry. Twice he walked into the Jewish temple and drove the money changers out. Read the report and notice that no man stepped forward to challenge his action. They were intimidated by his manly strength and fortitude. He fearlessly rebuked the powerful leaders of Judaism openly, calling them hypocrites and a generation of vipers. They could only gnash their teeth or slip away in embarrassment. When a band of soldiers came to arrest him, he bravely stood up and confronted them unarmed. They melted in fear. When he was flogged and physically abused, he endured their wrath without tears or cries for mercy. Only after hours of abuse did he collapse under the weight of the cross. This tells us that he was extremely robust and strong. This is the Jesus preached by the apostles. To this manly Jesus, millions have committed their lives. And for him, multitudes have died. Men of every rank have respected and honored him, loved and served him. So we give honor to Jesus today. Hallelujah. He is our true hero. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was God manifest in the flesh. Hallelujah. But he was also the Son of Man. He called himself that more than any other term. He was the Son of Man, the second Adam. Hallelujah. A man born without the blood of Adam in him. I believe that he was a perfect specimen of a man without the sinful limitations and afflictions that have brought so many of us down and broken us. Amen. Jesus Christ was every inch a man. He was tall, he was bronze, and he was perfect. There was no imperfection in him. Amen. He was slender and fit from walking. He was tough from the carpenter shop. And his mental prowess shocked those doctors and lawyers, amen, in the temple at 12 years old, and never ceased to shock them. They went away saying, never spake a man like this man. Hallelujah. Amen. There was power in him, power with God that had never been seen before. Hallelujah. The blind man said, it's never been heard before that a man born blind, amen, that his eyes were opened up, but mine were opened up. Amen. Whereas I was blind, now I see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus showed power over five particular areas that I want to bring to your attention today. He had power over sickness. Hallelujah. There's never been anybody quite like Jesus. There have been healers that rise up from time to time that seem to have special faith in certain areas. But the Bible says they brought the multitudes to Jesus and he healed every one of them. Hallelujah. They brought all manner of sickness and disease and he healed every one of them. Hallelujah. Amen. That's our hero today, the healer of all sickness and disease. Hallelujah. Not only that, but he had power over death. And you can't get much sicker than that. That's pretty sick. But when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. Amen. After 4 days of being dead, nobody could doubt it. Amen. In fact, the Pharisees wanted to kill Lazarus to get rid of that testimony because it exalted Jesus. Amen. But Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the grave. Hallelujah. He had power over demons. The demons trembled. Amen. When Jesus came. I'm talking about our hero who we must emulate today. Hallelujah. It's not a Hollywood star. Amen. But it's the star of the Bible. Amen. The star of the eternal Word of God. Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Demons tremble and have to flee when Jesus comes. If we can just be like Jesus, we won't have any power taking authority over the devil. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Amen. He had power even over nature itself. What manner of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. He had power over nature. And then he had power over our greatest enemy, and that is sin. Jesus looked at the man sick of the palsy and said, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. They had never heard it quite like that before. Here stands a man, very obviously a man. And he's saying to this very sick and sinful man, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the Pharisees nudged one another and said, this man is blaspheming. We know that no man can forgive sins. Only God can forgive sins. But I believe that there was somebody else nudging each other. And that was his apostles saying, did you hear that? He just forgave that man's sins. Hallelujah. And it's very obvious that his sins are forgiven, brother. You can see it when sins are forgiven. When guilt rolls away. When the burden of sin rolls off.
Hallelujah. Amen. Man, take up thy bed and walk. And he went away rejoicing. Amen. Because he had met the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I thought about asking somebody to look up some facts and figures on John Wayne for me, and then I decided against it. I don't know too much about the guy. Seen a lot of pictures of him. But, yeah, he's not doing too much now. But he's known for curling smoke and cussing and drinking and shooting. And he's a hero to a lot of people. And a lot of people followed after him and enjoyed him and all of that. But, you know, I know that I would like to be where Jesus is. I don't know that I would want to be where John Wayne is. And I'm not his judge. I've never watched his programs. But I just wouldn't want to take my chances. Old Brother James Lumpkin was at our house one time, and he had quoted a story over the pulpit a time or two, and we asked him to quote it so we could write it down or record it. And he told us the story again. He told us about Old Joe. Old Joe wasn't much for stirring about. It just wasn't his desire. No matter what others found to do, he was sitting by the fire. The same old story day by day, he never seemed to tire. While others worked to build the church, he was sitting by the fire. At last old Joe died, as all must do. They say he went up higher, but if he's doing what he used to do, he's sitting by the fire. So it's a dubious career to follow after somebody that's just a Hollywood star. But Jesus Christ was so great and so powerful. He was God coming to visit us. So pure. Hallelujah. So pure. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and I want to throw this out to us men, because one of the greatest areas of temptation that we have is in our moral life. But Jesus Christ lived in this world for 33 years. And he was not married. And yet he kept himself. I don't care what these skeptics come up in the last days trying to say he was married to somebody and had kids or whatever. We know by the testimony of those that have gone before us that Jesus Christ kept himself pure. He was tempted. He was tempted. He was a man. He was tempted in all points like as we are. Yet without sin. Hallelujah. That's why we're going to follow after him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Amen. This is not about getting stuck somewhere in between. This is about perfecting the saints. Hallelujah. Amen. For the work of the ministry. And for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying is building up. Amen. Always moving forward. Brother, if you don't stay on your prayer toes and you don't stay in the house of God, I promise you, you will be left behind. If you get casual about your relationship with God and quit praying and you quit worshiping and you're nonchalant about going to church, the church will walk off and leave you. Hallelujah. Because God's church is always moving on. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can't get out of step with the church. Hallelujah. I teach my church, it doesn't make any difference why you miss church. If you had permission or you don't have permission. If you were sick or not sick. Every time you miss the house of God, amen, you get a little out of step with the church. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to work at staying in pace with God's church, because it's not a dead thing. It's a living organism that's moving on. Amen. And I want to pray and talk to God and be in the house of God and move on with the church. Hallelujah. I don't want to get out of step with my brethren. Hallelujah. I don't want to get stuck over somewhere in my work and be left behind. I want to find out what's going on. I want to pray with the best of them. I want to love God with all my heart. I want to see Jesus when it's all said and done. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together and love the Lord. Let's love Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Moving on, moving on, moving on. We're not stuck anywhere. Amen. We're not going to adjust to this world. We're moving on. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. You may be seated. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. And that's not somewhere in between. And I know sometimes we look at the word perfect and you say, well, I'm not perfect, you're not perfect. And that is true in a certain sense. But I've got a little 3-year-old grandson here today. And he has his bad days, but he has some perfect days. Hallelujah. Amen. And when he's doing things right, mom and dad and grandma and grandpa will smile down at him and say, that's perfect. That's perfect. Amen. You got a lot of growing to do, a lot of learning to do, a lot of correction to come your way. But right now, where you're at for this time, you're perfect. You're perfect. We like you just like you are. Hallelujah. And I believe that a Heavenly Father is looking down upon your life. Amen. And if you'll give Him your best, if you'll love Him with all of your heart, there's going to be a smiling Father that says, that's perfect. That's perfect. I like the way you're going to the house of God. I like the way you're seeking me in prayer. I like the way you're loving my word. That's perfect. Hallelujah. That's perfect. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was speaking in the Sermon on the Mount. Hallelujah. And he was perfecting the law. Hallelujah. Amen. Fulfilling the law. He wasn't casting it aside. He said, you heard in the Old Testament, in the old law, that thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not kill, which is talking about murder. Amen. Thou shalt not murder. You can do better than that, Jesus explained. He said, I tell you, don't even be angry with your brother without a cause. What's that anger in you? Hallelujah. He said, you heard in the old time, thou shalt not steal. I'm telling you, thou shalt not covet. Hallelujah. Don't even lust after those things that don't belong to you. Hallelujah. You heard it the old time. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I'm telling you, thou shalt not lust after a woman in your heart, lest you commit adultery in your heart. Hallelujah. He talked about divorce, but he told them that's not good enough. I'm telling you, love your wife. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's not enough just not to divorce your wife. Maybe I should stay here for a while, huh? It's not enough just not to get a divorce, just to hang in there for the grandkids or for the dogs. But if you want to be a true example of what God designed marriage for, amen, you got to love your wife. The Bible says, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. And most of us here today love ourselves. Amen. We need to practice that on our wives. We need to take care of them and love them and make something beautiful out of them. Hallelujah. Amen. So he lifted it up. Hallelujah. He made it better. Amen. It's not the idea of dumbing it down and getting stuck somewhere in between the carnal man and the spiritual man and hoping that you'll make it in. But God, help us to pray it through. Hallelujah. And be what God wants us to be. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said, I haven't yet attained. Amen. But I tell you what I do. Hallelujah. Amen. I am going to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to get stuck somewhere. I'm going to press toward the mark. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we've got to press on. We've got to run on. Hallelujah. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the fullness, of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got to press in there. Hallelujah. So we must learn to be like Jesus. And I think that starts with a good heartfelt repentance. Hallelujah. Amen. God, I've been a whole lot like John Wayne, but I need to be like Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been a whole lot like the carnal man, like the man that's just a part of this world that has no real goal in mind. But I want to be more like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I believe that there are some ways to do that. We can't ever... I did not get to be here last year, but I heard the CDs of the messages, and I heard Brother Garrett preaching on prayer. And my, what a powerful and moving message, amen, was preached here. And a message that we just need to keep on hearing to remind us that we all need to pray. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember many years ago preaching for Brother Wesson in Phoenix, preaching a revival there. And so getting ready for the service, I went into the prayer room and just walking and praying in the prayer room. And I saw the sign on the wall in the prayer room. And it said, if you don't feel like praying, just talk to God about it. And if we just understand that prayer is communication with God, amen, you don't have to be on your knees to pray. You can be. I remember when I was a little bitty kid driving around with my dad, my precious dad, that loved God, lived for God, and died in this wonderful faith at 57 years old with a heart attack. But I remember when I was a kid, he was pastor in La Mesa, Texas, but he'd go out and preach revivals from there. And it was quite the days before seat belts were enforced and before car seats were even heard of. I remember us driving out of town, little town, La Mesa, Texas, and I'd be standing in the front seat over on the other side and just watching the road, you know, and everything go by. And I would hear my dad over there driving, and he'd be saying, thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. I love you, Lord. And he'd just keep worshiping the Lord, and before long there would be tears streaming down his face. And sometimes he would even break into worshiping and praying in tongues while we're driving down the road. Amen. Going somewhere to do the work of God, to preach a revival. Amen. I'm telling you, you need to learn how to walk with God. You need to learn how to pray wherever you are. The Bible says pray without ceasing, and that's not a cop-out. Hallelujah. Pray without ceasing. I believe you need to be in prayer at prayer time at church. But I believe that wherever you go, I try to, when I wake up in the morning, the first thing I do is say, I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I love you, Lord. I want to walk with you. I want to seize this day. Amen. For the work of God and for the kingdom of God and for my life in God. Hallelujah. So wake up loving the Lord and pray throughout the day and walk with Him. Hallelujah. 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 If you've been living like John Wayne, start off with a good heartfelt repentance and get yourself cleaned out. And then set your mind on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. His race is already run. He's not going to let you down. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Others may fail you, but Jesus Christ will never fail. He will never fail you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to challenge you with this book. Hallelujah. Amen. When I was in Bible college, my first year in Bible college, I pretty much squandered it. I went to Bible college. I didn't have a call to preach, even though I knew I probably would end up there. But I didn't really have a call on my life. And I just went basically because most of my friends were going. In my first year, I took a full-time job, making better money than I'd ever made before. And I was also exhausted all the time. I would work till midnight at night, the swing shift. And then Brother Clyde Haney would be teaching at 7 o'clock in the morning. And Brother Clyde Haney was a wonderful man of God and a great teacher, a man that taught us so many things. But he wasn't the most dynamic teacher either. and getting up for breakfast at 6:20 in the morning after working till midnight and getting home after that. And I was just wiped out. I was exhausted. But at the end of the year, I made a consecration to God that first year. And I told the Lord, God, if you'll help me this next year, things are going to change in my life. And I came back. I took a part-time job. I could just barely pay my school bill. But I determined to do that. And I threw myself into my classes. But another thing I did along about that time is I made a dedication to this book, to read this book. Brothers, we need to read the Word of God. We need to read it. I was 19 years old then. I'm 59. I'll be 60 in January. And every year since then, I have read this book through. Praise God. Every year of my life, amen, I've read this book through. Amen. If you want to know Him, you've got to read the book. Praise God. Amen. If you want to live by His commandments, you must read them. And we find time to do a lot of other things, but sometimes we're just too busy, amen, to read the Word of God. Patrick Henry is known for saying, give me liberty or give me death. But he made another great statement on his deathbed. He pointed weakly over to a coffee table, and he said, there lies the greatest book that has ever been written. It fell my lot in life never to have had the time to read it. Now I must commit myself into the hands of God. I would be afraid to stand before God and say, God, I just didn't have time to read your word. So I want to challenge you today, if it's not already your habit, to get up in the morning and find a time or somewhere during your day, whatever is your good time, give that good time to the study of God's word. Read his word. Hallelujah. And put it in your heart. And it will move you out of that stuck in between place. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I went to a seminar one time years ago in Phoenix. I'm just about to get out of here. But I went to a seminar where they told us that, and this was a preaching seminar. It was not a apostolic, but it was very good and affected my life. But a man there said, and this man was a very well-known preacher and writer and all of that, and he said, it's a known fact that if a man, whatever his profession is, if he will study 30 minutes a day, he will be in the top 10 in his field. 30 minutes a day. And it's surprising sometimes that you may be getting operated on by somebody that went to school years ago and hadn't read a book since. I read one writer said just a few days ago in a book that I have, said, if you're not going to read, get out of the ministry. And I'm telling you, whatever your field is, amen, you need to study. You need to read. You need to keep your mind fresh. And you need this book in your heart. Amen. You know, it'd be nice if we could come up with some new invented things that would really promote us into some glorious walk with God. But it just falls back to prayer and to reading the Word of God and going to the house of God and submitting yourself to the man of God. Hallelujah. Obeying those that have the rule over you. Amen. Loving the church and loving God. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, I recommend that if you miss the house of God, you make sure you get the tape or CD and stay in step with the church, because you don't want to get out of sorts. You don't want to get behind. Hallelujah. Amen. And let's walk with Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. He's the man I want to follow. Praise God. He's the one I want to be like. To be like Jesus on earth, I long to be like Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand and give the Lord the glory. Let's give the Lord the praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.